We're live.
Woo! Kick us off, babe.
Well, we got matching outfits.
We do have matching outfits. Well, I was hoping you'd kick us off with
welcome to another captivating episode of A Kick-Ass Love Story. Your host, Austin Vanderford, my co-host, Dennis and Paige Vanderford. We're in the house.
Oh, it's your birthday.
It is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes. Woo! Happy birthday, me. Yeah, I'm not a big birthday guy.
Neither of us are.
Yeah.
But yeah. How does it feel to be officially 34?
It feels good. It feels quite a bit like being 33, which felt quite a like being 30. I'd say the only, I don't even know. I don't really feel a difference.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of started fighting a little bit later. Wrestled all that stuff. And I don't know. I don't know that I feel that much different. I'm sure there's some sort of difference in, you know, physically or whatever. Okay. But
what about the mentality of going from 29 to 30?
Yes, because you're about to approach that.
I'm going to be 29 forever.
In a couple days, you got it.
Yes. If people don't know, my birthday is on March 26th, and yep. I will officially be 30.
Yeah. It's cliche, but, you know, it's a number age. And of course, father time and being in athletics and stuff.
But I did ask you, though, yeah. Now that you're not going to be dating a girl in her 20s anymore.
No.
In my 30s. Does that change things?
You're not a cougar either because you don't have kids yet. No, I don't even really think about that.
Well, I'd be a cougar if you were younger than me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking a MILF.
A MILF.
Yeah.
No, we're dildos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dual income little dog owners.
Yes. We're a couple little dildos.
Sitting on the couch.
Couple red dildos.
Okay, let's talk about the hockey game. Obviously, we're
wearing matching jerseys.
We are giant red dildos today.
We're both, we both went number 12. We both have Vanderford on the back.
Yep.
We went to a hockey game this weekend.
Now that we've gone to our first hockey game.
Yes.
Where do you place it as far as like excitement of sports?
Well, like,
okay, let's say we have our top five, right?
Yes,
we have hockey. I'm going to go hockey, football.
Yeah.
Baseball, basketball, and I'm going to throw the fifth one in there is tennis because
you're not
really
going to say MMA?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was like, wait, where are we going with this?
MMA. Okay, so then there's MMA and there's boxing.
Yes. So we still got top five or what?
Top six.
Okay. Where do I fit everything in?
Yeah.
Damn. It was fun. I will say hockey is a little more difficult to follow.
Yeah. That's what I felt. I felt as if hockey was so fast paced.
Yeah.
Like between
It's tough to see the goals.
Yeah, it's tough to see the goals mid-play, having people coming on and off the bench.
Uh-huh.
Where I felt like there definitely was no stop in the action. So it was extremely exciting the whole time.
Yep.
But it was kind of hard to follow in a sense. You like with so many people coming on and off the ice, the goals, you don't even see them most of the time.
Yeah.
I think hockey could benefit from having a bigger rink.
Maybe. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
No, because I would – I think – part of what makes hockey a little more fun is, you know, more goals are scored. But we also probably just need to go watch more games and we'll get a
better sense of what's going on. We were drunk too, so.
We had a couple beers. Ironically, we had went out. The game was at 6. We had stopped by a local place and because we wanted to get a burger and or get something to eat or whatever. And some people that we knew were there.
And some people
that we didn't know but knew us were there. And they're wanting to buy us drinks. Next thing you know, we have – also, shout out, I believe your name was Mike. But don't pardon my memory, because we had met a few people, but you listen to every episode, so you'll hear this and you'll hear the shout out. And I told you nice. I would shout you out. So it was awesome. We had a really good time.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, did he? Okay.
An email.
Was it Mike?
Was it at World of Beer?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, was it Mike?
Yeah, you'll see it on there.
Hey, oh, let's go. There so we go.
We ended up getting quite a few drinks with some people here in Florida. And then we ended up going to the game and had an incredible time. Got matching jerseys.
I don't even... We got these at like the second period or something. We went and got jerseys. We
threw them on.
Yeah, we're like, we're fans though.
Yeah, So now we're fans of hockey.
We had fun. Currently though, arguably my favorite sporting event of the year is going on right now, March Madness.
Okay, so you'd put March Madness as one of your top sports
events. Oh, for sure. I mean, even I didn't watch a single college basketball game, like regular season game, or I started watching, which I do every year a little bit, like, sorry, I'm kind of going on
sports,
but kind of going on, I start watching like the conference tournaments and stuff, but you know, every year I chase after that illustrious perfect bracket.
Yeah,
and I think I had named it off last night. It's like one in 200 billion
are the odds
that you can do a perfect one. Yeah, and I'm currently about to in the first couple hours of it, I'm about to lose my first game. Yeah,
that's unfortunate. All right, so I guess not doing sports, let's put rank your sporting events. Like, would you put March Madness over, or like the March Madness championship, would you put that over the NFL, like over the Super Bowl?
It's funny, I was just messaging Jesse about this, and yes, I enjoy March Madness more than the Super Bowl, because oftentimes like the Super Bowl is a couple teams I don't really give a shit about.
Yeah,
my Jaguars never make it. until they make it, then, you know, a big upset in the Super Bowl is always cool. But you know, even like week one of the NFL is more captivating to me than the Super Bowl.
Okay. Because
it's like, my team's still got a chance. It's week one.
There's a chance.
Yeah, there's still a chance. And, okay. You know, so.
I guess we have to throw in, if we're thinking about it, the Olympics is coming up, which I have a funny bit of information about the Olympics.
Yes, okay. But
okay, are you winter or summer Olympics?
Oh, man. I think I
lean towards summer, because I put gymnastics is my favorite thing to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
Gymnastics for me, number one Olympic sport to watch.
Yeah.
The rest kind of fall in line. Based on popularity, I would say. But for me, gymnastics is by far my favorite. Track and field's really exciting.
Yeah.
But
we also enjoy the ice skating too.
We love ice skating.
I know. That's what. It's tough.
I love curling.
Yeah, we just get into them. It's fun to watch. And
we're a big sports family.
Yeah. But the funny thing, backtracking a little bit, when we were talking about like our favorite, or you know, our top sporting events, you had snuck in tennis, and you snuck that in because we watched the U.S. Open this year.
We got obsessed with the U.S. Open. We watched every single event, and I think it was really cool.
It was fun.
I've never been in a tennis fan.
Same.
I've never played tennis.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just not something that I've really thought about. But the U.S. Open was awesome.
It was fun to watch. There was that the young kid from the U.S.
Yep.
And I forget his name, but he was kind of making a run and stuff. And that was, we really enjoyed tennis.
Really enjoyed getting into tennis. Then there's, of course, fighting would be what we'd watch on a more regular basis.
Yeah, and when I was talking to Jesse about, you know, sporting events and stuff, I did my top three, and it was March Madness, like any maybe one like fight card a year that I'm really interested
really
in. You know,
about
like UFC 300 coming up. That's like a exciting sporting event for the year for me. And then what did I say for three? I can't remember what I said for three, but maybe college football playoffs. it's gaining some more traction for me. But anyways, I will say this though about hockey, and you can kind of tell a little story about this. Hockey players are some of the best athletes.
Yes. Okay. And we'll have to throw this picture in if I can find it.
Yeah.
We'll put it up. I went to this gym in LA. It was called Unbreakable.
Yeah.
And I worked out with, so it's pretty much like an invite only, celebrity only gym.
Yeah. Doesn't like Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah. Train that's there where Wiz Khalifa trains. That's where like the stars of the stars, or at least one of the gyms.
Jay Glazer
is the owner.
Okay.
I believe he's the owner. At least he was my trainer. So I, I was texting with Jay Glazer. He's the one who got me into the gym.
Yeah.
And set me up with a workout. So go in, and they do have like set times.
Yeah.
So I worked out with, which you would have to say their names because I don't remember.
I know one was Roy Hibbert.
So I was working out with Roy Hibbert. I was working out with that really big football player.
I don't remember the football player.
I see him on TV.
James. Not James Harrison. No.
I think James Harrison.
No, you did like thumb war or something with James.
Thumb war. Well, pro football arm wrestling.
Yeah, pro football arm wrestling.
I was one of the hosts for that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's fast forward though. I worked out with the group was myself as the fighter.
Yep.
Roy Hibbert, right?
Yeah, the basketball player.
And then the professional football player, which mind you, I believe those two were either retired or older in their careers.
Roy Hibbert was probably closer to the tail end, but he was still active. I think he was probably playing for the Lakers at the time, especially it was in LA, right?
It was in LA.
Yeah, I think he was playing for the Lakers. Okay,
so then there was a NASCAR driver and a professional hockey player.
Okay.
So we're doing this workout. It was a combination of like bag work, cardio, weightlifting, and then we did a sprinting thing on one of those aerodyne treadmills. So you know, everyone was clocking in to see how fast they could run. Now throughout the entire workout, there was one person who stood alone as far as athleticism. It was the hockey player. By a long shot. Like,
really?
Oh, smoked all of us at the running, at just cardio, like pure athleticism. The hockey player was the best person there.
You know, growing up in Alaska, we did a bit of skating, and you did some skating too. We just did it
a little when
we
were skating
back there. But I remember as a kid, like, skating for a long time and how tired my quads and my legs would get.
I forget how terrifying like ice skating is.
Well, and then so then you add on top of that like the balance and the core strength that takes this, you know, you're standing up on two blades and you're going around. These motherfuckers
Ankle stability
fast.
Like they're fast.
And so like all these things you know, in combination with one another, it's like, hockey is like,
you gotta be athletic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say that was, I'm curious now to like, if we could put the picture up, if anybody knows who this person is.
Yeah. The hockey player.
Yeah. I believe he was Canadian, but I mean, obviously I can't remember. It was a really long time ago.
And then the danger, Sue, RIP, the hockey dude who got his neck slit.
That's what freaks me out. Even when we just go ice skating.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose a finger. Like, it's crazy. I fall down and someone skates over my fingers, that terrifies me.
Yeah. It's, hockey's crazy.
Well, and that brings me to, like, ice skating, like professional ice skating. When they throw these girls, they're landing on, you're landing on basically concrete. You just hit so hard.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible. Anything that you do on ice is incredible.
No, it is.
Okay, so that brings me back to the Olympics.
Yes, I want to hear
this. Now, I want to hear your thoughts on this because I feel like it plays into something we've talked about in the past on the podcast.
Right.
And I actually think there's something to this.
Okay.
TMZ Sports announced 2024 Paris Olympics lifts the intimacy ban. 300,000 condoms will be distributed for athletes.
Oh shit.
They're going to distribute condoms and they're lifting the intimacy ban at the Olympics.
They're running out of talented athletes, so they want procreation to go on between and make super athletes.
Is that what it is?
That's what. No, but okay. But That's an interesting thought,
though. It is.
Yeah.
Now, I believe we are either going to see more world records at this Olympics than we ever have.
Oh, shit.
Or we're going to see a lot of people not live up to their expectation because they're going to be getting it on the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. So that's interesting. Yeah. What if they go out, you know, and because I've heard stories about, you know, like hookups and stuff within the Olympic villages and all that, and you know, athletes talking about
sneaking around
and hookups, you know, and yeah, it'd be funny if it makes a difference.
Right? We'll see how many people get pregnant.
Yeah, too.
There's gonna be pregnancies,
yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
Two, we could see a ton of world records broken because, I mean, for me, I don't know. I think it's interesting. Like,
yeah.
We talked on the last podcast. We always have sex before we fight.
Yeah. Well, the times we haven't, it wasn't good for me. The times we haven't
didn't work.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to this. Like, yes. I wonder if there could be a little bit more. There has to be science into like having sex the week of competition or withholding and like the difference on testosterone, on your endorphins, on your cortisol levels. I think when you're at a place like the Olympics or competing at such a high level, if you could be relaxed enough to have sex, obviously it's going to bring your cortisol levels down.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Because your cortisol levels really affects like so much of your life. It's weight gain. It's stress. Like it's your stress. So if we could take some of that down, these athletes are going to be chill.
They're going to be in their zone. And
all they need to do is like smoke some weed, have sex, and they're going to be the best Olympics ever.
Oh boy. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. That's cool.
Kind of interesting.
I hope afterwards that there's just a bunch of pregnant folks.
Yeah. Well, then we're going to see super athletes, which will really do well for us here coming up in the next, I don't know. Some of these Olympians are like, what, 14, 16 years old?
So they don't need to get pregnant.
Well, no. That's not what I meant.
Shit, I was like, wait, where are we going with this? They don't need to be getting pregnant. I might need to get cut from here. Wasn't good.
If we got pregnant,
It
would be 14 years until you'd see our kid in the Olympics.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So we won't know if it worked for 14 years.
Yeah, right. We can agree they don't need to be getting pregnant. Yeah.
No. Why did your mind go there?
I don't know. I thought you were going like, I don't really even know why.
No, you understand what I'm saying now, though, right? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I get it now. Yeah.
The super babies will spawn their appearance at the Olympics.
Yeah, the way.
14 to 16 years.
Yeah, the way you're phrasing it sounds a lot better than what. Yeah, I don't know where you were going, yikes. But I know where you're going now.
Okay,
yeah,
you got it. All right. Whew, all right, that one got me. Okay, so I had a few things written down.
Okay.
I had...
I love it when you write a few things down.
Do you really?
Yes.
Oh, cool. I had a fan write in.
Okay.
AKA my mom.
Oh, boy.
She goes... Wait, I lost it. Oh, basically just how to handle jealousy in a relationship.
Oh.
So not going to shoot my mom under the bus.
Oh, but yes.
I'm just going to lay the whole story out.
You know a little background, yeah.
Yeah, you guys have a little background. My mom's dating a younger gentleman.
Yes.
Basically the same age as Austin.
Yeah.
He's a little older.
Your mom is a cougar.
My mom is a cougar.
Yes.
So she has this new boyfriend who she's so smitten with, this young hottie. So apparently they get a new boss at work.
Yes.
And my mom felt as if the boss was flirting with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because they do work at the same place.
Yeah.
And her boss.
What was she doing? Sending him tit pics or something? And did he? He's a nice guy too.
He responded back.
Thank you so much.
Bro. No, but apparently there was an exchange of a phone number. Now I wanted to lay it out to my mom as if, all right, listen, there's a new boss. Yeah, she's this young girl, but she probably just wants to do a good job and make sure she gets to keep the position.
Uh-huh.
So she's going to all the employees, like, here's my phone number. If you need anything, let's be proactive and get this place on its feet.
Yeah.
She saw it as if he was, she was flirting and wants to, like, work after hours.
Oh, boy.
So that's my question to you.
Yes.
And I think, how do... couples, new couples versus like us old couples.
Yeah.
handle jealousy and do okay. And I want you to kind of like bring it back to when we first started dating, when we were a new couple, how one, jealousy changes, and then how the way you handle it changes.
Yeah. So, well, I think the main part of, you know, for me and in my mind, like dealing with jealousy, new couple versus old, is you go through these things. Like we've gone through situations where we had to prove to each other, you know, we had to prove our loyalty to one another, mm-hmm. or whatever, and that we wouldn't hurt the other one emotionally and stuff. And so, you know, you go through these little challenges, and then your trust in someone continues to build.
Yeah,
you go through this. Yeah, it grows and grows to the point now where it's like we trust each other, and we know, you know. So it's like, and
for me, I feel like jealousy at its core is a lack of confidence, whether it's a lack of confidence in yourself or in the relationship.
Yeah.
And for me, I think when we first started dating, I wasn't as confident in myself. I wasn't as confident in, you know, like, you know, you're a new relationship. You're not sure where it's going to go. You're not sure. I wasn't confident that you were going to be with me forever.
Which is so funny to me because, and this is a good point too, that everyone goes through these confidence, because, you know, you'll say these things to me and I'm just like, what are you talking about? How can you not be confident in your looks and like all these things? You know, you're so gorgeous, and any guy would throw themselves at girl too, would throw themselves at it. But, and, you know, so, but yeah, we all go through these struggles.
And I feel like now I've gotten to a point where I am confident in myself, and I feel like I'm confident in, like, I give you every single piece of me.
Yes.
Like, everything possible for you to love me. And if you choose not to, that it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's too, like, a way for you to be like, all right, am I giving it everything that I possibly can? Like, if I have moments of jealousy or if I have moments of insecurity in our relationship, I have to remind myself, okay, am I truly doing a good enough job being a wife?
Yeah.
Is there things that I'm falling short on? Is there things I could be doing better?
Yeah.
And if I feel like I'm doing the best job that I can, then you have that confidence. Like, okay, well, if you do cheat or if you do leave me or you want something else, then then it's not my fault and it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Man, that's like, that's really good.
Oh, thank you.
That was really good. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can't live your life in this fear.
I think, you know, if you're looking for something to be upset about, you will always find it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, and whether it be big or small or this or that, if you're looking for something negative, you can always find something.
Yeah.
And in the same instance, if you're looking for something positive, you will always find something positive.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I think relationships at the beginning, you can definitely have more jealousy because of the uncertainty of the future. But now I'm just so confident and sure of our future that there's just no reason to be jealous.
Yeah. And I think especially early on in a relationship, you know, jealousy and situations like these are inevitable. But these are the proving grounds to build that trust and that growth, you know. And you know, the boss gave, you know, your mom's boyfriend the cell phone number and stuff. And,
well, and it's an opportunity for him to prove himself.
Exactly. And how he feels and where he sees their relationship going. And you know, and they do. They both really love each other and care about each other. And so, you know, it is hard to get over those fears. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially too with your mom going through a divorce and starting over in a new relationship, the last thing you want is, you know, for that relationship to fall on its face. And, you know, you feel like you've wasted all this time and energy and stuff. So, you know, it's tough. But part of being a man for your mom's boyfriend as well is recognizing this and wanting to treat your mom the right way and being mature enough to.
Yeah. And recognizing like your partner, what issues that they have or what insecurities that they have, and then like consciously make an effort to show or prove like, oh, well, I'm doing this for this reason. Or,
yeah.
You know, okay. So like a good example is when we first started dating,
yeah,
you would either be on the phone with Nick
yeah.
or, it actually neg. And then I would walk in the room, you'd be like, hey, I gotta go, bye. And you just hang up because you were giving your attention to me instead. Yes. But for me, it felt like you were like, oh shit, I gotta go. And you're like talking to somebody else that you didn't want me to hear the conversation, you didn't want me to know about.
Yeah.
So then I, you know, expressed like, hey, when you do that, it makes me think you're like, so now just don't do that.
Being naughty. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me feel like you're being doing up to no good.
So a couple things about that. One, I'm really not a big phone talker. I don't really love talking on the phone, but I do obviously because, you know, people need to be talked to. But for two, I was always doing that because I was kind of hiding my fantasy football a little bit early on in our relationship.
Oh my gosh. We got into the biggest fight. Our biggest fight ever was with you in fantasy football.
Yep.
I was so mad that I found out you were in four leagues. And it consumed your time. And I was get so annoyed that you were always on your phone, always calling your friends because you were very invested.
Yes.
Like trades on trades on. Yeah. It was like consumed your life.
Yes.
Now I feel like your energy has switched to football some cards. things. At least with football cards, I get to spend time with you and be a part of it.
Yeah.
But now how many fantasy football leagues are you in? At one point it was like 16 leagues.
At one point it was 11 leagues.
That's insane.
I'm not even anywhere close to that now.
How many are you in now?
I don't know, but I'm about to get booted from one because I haven't been responding to trades and stuff. Nice. Because I just, you know, I'm in, I would say I'm in like four that I'm very invested in.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Four that I'm very... My American top team ones and then my original ones with like my good buddies and stuff.
So this is my advice to ladies.
Yes.
If your man's in a fantasy football league, let them be. Be happy that they have something that makes them happy.
Yeah.
For men, don't hide it because it seems like you're up to some shady shit.
Yes.
And show your woman your team. Talk about it. We just want to be...
want to be involved.
I just want to be a part of your stupid world.
No,
like,
I get it.
Like, okay, I'm working this trade with Nick. I'm trying to trade Lamar Jackson for Odell Beckham Jr.
Damn, good name drops.
Thank you.
Good job.
Was that good?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Nice. And then just be like,
now I would never trade Lamar Jackson for Odell Beckham Jr., but good.
Yeah. And a first round draft pick.
Okay, there we go. Now we're talking a little bit, so but still.
Let your girls be involved because I think for us, we just don't want to feel left out.
Okay. Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah. All right.
Perfect. That was great advice.
That was great.
Okay. I feel like there is this common trend on social media. It's, what is a high value man or woman? And then should you have, my question pertaining to that is, should you have a checklist for when you're trying to pick a partner?
Okay.
Like when we first started dating.
Yes.
Did you have a checklist? Like, before I date somebody, they need to blah, 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 make this much money.
Absolutely not. No.
No, I didn't either.
No, that seems psychotic to me.
This does.
But also, you know, I'm a fairly simple person. This is how I feel. It doesn't take a ton to like make me that happy and stuff. And so and also like I think, you know, you fall in love with a certain person, it doesn't really, I always have, and I've stood on this, that you know, you and I could live in a box and I would still be happy with you and still choose you and be married to you and all that. So to say like I have a checklist or had a checklist when I was looking for my partner and someone and also when you and I met and you know we started, I was ready to be settled down with somebody, and you know, and it just by fate or whatever, we met each other and you know, we're the perfect match.
And I feel like this is a concerned question a lot that people are asking women.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how much money does your man need to make before you date them? Or how much money does your potential man need to make?
Yeah.
Now, I am here to tell women. And this is going to
be. Yeah, let's hear this.
This is going to be really controversial on a woman's
this
woman
is
side.
Definitely more of a good question for you.
Yeah, but I also. Okay, so let me preface this with. We're not in a traditional relationship to the point that you're not expecting me to just be a stay-at-home wife and a stay-at-home mom. So our values in a relationship are entirely different.
Yep.
We support the shit out of each other. We are 100% equal in providing for our house, for taking care of things.
Yeah.
Now, so when I met you, obviously, I had my own money.
Yeah.
I owned my own home. I was 22. I might not have been a millionaire yet, but I was pretty damn close.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, being 22, I was really just looking for somebody to love me and like support my life. So it's not like I needed you to, you know, buy me things or to be our sole source of income.
Yeah.
I didn't need any of that. I just needed someone to ride or die with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wanted somebody who would go walk to the edge of a cliff with me, hold my hand, and we both jump off.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
And, I think a lot of women are looking for something else. Yeah. So I didn't give a shit how much money you made.
Yeah.
I didn't care that you had a ton of college debt that we just now paid off.
Now let's rewind a little bit. Comparatively, it wasn't a ton, but yes, I had some.
You had some college debt. Yeah, so when stuff. If I would have had a checklist saying like, okay, my partner can't, like, I mean, this is going to sound, I hope this doesn't sound like I'm putting you down, but like on your checklist,
for
right?
Sure.
You were working as a personal trainer.
I was brand. I think I had like one professional fight, and my very first professional fight, I think the pay was like $500 flat or something.
Yeah. So when you write and if you go into relationships with a checklist, I could have said like, okay, no, he got a cosign on a car with his dad. He, you know, has college debt, this or that, but it's like, that's not the checklist that I thought was important. The checklist that I saw in you was, do you work really fucking hard? Yeah. Like, I saw you immediately. I was like, all right, he's going to be a world champion. He's driven.
Yeah.
He's like, even your wrestling pedigree proves that you can stay committed to something.
Yeah.
I obviously looked at your Instagram and Facebook. I saw you had long-term relationships before me. So you weren't looking to fuck around. You were a relationship person.
Yep.
You supported me. You held my hand. You opened the car door for me. You made sure you bought the groceries. You, like, all of those things that proved that you were a high-value man and you were there to support me and love me and take care of me.
Yeah.
That was my checklist.
Yeah.
So I think when you go into a relationship with this superficial checklist of X amount of money, this blah, 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 it's just destined for failure because it's so materialistic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can come out and say, and we've talked in the past too, I mean, you had some pretty high, like, profile people not throwing themselves at you, but
trying to court
date you. And in specific, there was one gentleman who you guys were going to go on, like, a Disney or something. And, you know, and you turned him
down because I wanted to fly you out.
I
called my mom on the phone. I was like, okay, I just met this guy, and like, would it be weird if I offer to fly him to LA to go to Disney World with me, or Disneyland with me? And my mom was like, do it. And of course I chickened out.
But I, and what I will say too about, you know, talking about things that build confidence and trust and like your partner and stuff, really, I've never once like thought about or was jealous or thought that you would leave me for, you know, maybe someone more high profile or whatever. It just never has been a fear of mine, because you proved to me early on like that wasn't what you cared about in in these things.
Well, and I think we just set ourselves up for success. Like, one, immediately we had the passwords to each other's phone.
Yeah.
We have the same password for each other's phone.
Yep.
We have, share pretty much everything.
Yes.
So we set our relationships up for success.
Yeah, for sure.
And I, for like, you know, for you, I guess my question that kind of was, the question I had for you and on this topic was, would you prefer if I were, because a lot of men are asked, are like, oh, do you prefer a woman who is a hustler and goes and gets her own money, or do you prefer a stay-at-home wife that's going to take care of you and take care of the household?
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of funny because someone had made a comment. They were trying to be a dick, and they had made a comment like, how's it feel, you know, your wife makes all the money and you're just a fucking loser and you buy football cards or something. And you know, and I thought about it and I started thinking, you know, throughout our relationship, I have understood that, you know, more than likely I'm never going to make, you know, be paid as much as you get paid. I'm probably never going to like make the money you make. Even if I would have won the world title, you know, if I would have beat Gegard and been the Bellator champ and stuff, I still probably would have never been making the same. But I've always been okay with that.
But also, I don't think that's a knock to you.
I think it talks about you and you know, who you are and what you've been able to build up and your accomplishments. And
but also the person asking this, like, you also have to understand, we could survive off of your income. You still make
for sure
six yes. figures a year.
Of course.
Just yeah. because I make seven doesn't mean that all of a sudden there's an imbalance of the relationship.
Yeah.
When we first started dating, I was like, you know, like, okay, let's see like how you can support me and how you can add value to my life. And yeah. you showed that immediately.
Yeah.
So the moment we got married, everything was shared.
Yeah,
it was for sure. Shared bank accounts. What's mine is yours. It is 100% equal playing field.
Yeah.
No prenups. No, yeah. nothing crazy except yeah. for one time I got drunk and we were fighting and I was like, yes. I convinced you that I secretly had you sign a prenup.
Yeah. And I'm like thinking in my head, like, when the fuck did I when would I have signed this? When did she get me to say? And then the next day, you know, that was our worst fight, probably.
I was like, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, whenever prenup comes up in a fight, this is probably not a good situation. This was years ago.
Maybe I
though,
shouldn't
so.
Have talked about that one.
No, it's funny,
but
this is years
anyways
ago.
So and then I'd also see, although like, yeah, we'll say the checks come in my name,
yeah,
but I also know that, okay, when we first met, I was close to being a millionaire. I definitely wasn't yet.
Yeah.
But since the moment we got together, one, my confidence grew. I became yeah. more confident in myself, taking roles that I necessarily wouldn't have. I would not be on OnlyFans if it wasn't for a supportive husband
for
that
sure.
was like comfortable with me showing off my sexy side. And
yeah.
So, you know, the value you add to my life is so much bigger than a dollar figure. But I will say, because of us working hard and being a team, now we're multimillionaires.
Yeah.
And we've just been able to really just, you know, capitalize on life right now and support yeah. each other. And it yeah. wouldn't be possible if I didn't have a supportive husband.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And I also do not expect you to be working in the kitchen
every day.
Yeah.
We actually have a really good balance.
We do. Also too, like, especially, you know, when you're in a relationship with, like, I don't want to shit on another relationship because, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know the full story, but it's like the Tom Brady and Giselle,
yeah.
them getting divorced. And, you know, a lot of it was she didn't, allegedly, you know, who knows what
yeah.
went on behind closed doors and whatever. But some of the narrative is that she didn't want him to play on another season mm-hmm. and stuff. But, you know, when you're going into a relationship like us, we both have these goals and, you
yeah,
know, we're
and
both.
You need to know what you signed up for.
Exactly. And that's, you know, like I said, who knows the whole
but
backstory,
let's just say that is the scenario.
Yeah.
Let's just say that she didn't want him to play another season of football. I understand. I can see her side wanting him to stay with the family and
for
raise
sure.
the kids and be
yeah.
there for the kids to grow. But also Tom Brady, like, he's getting old. That potentially was his last season ever to play.
Oh, well, and it, yeah.
And it was.
It was, yeah. And it's like,
You know, let him live this last moment.
We're
of
talking
his
about
career.
The greatest quarterback of all time, and mm-hmm. you know, he wants to go out and so. Anyways, yeah, being able to understand and recognize, you know, which we do, we're two people who have these goals in mind, and you know, it's not a traditional stay-at-home mm-hmm. wife situation like that. We both have these goals, so you know, there's nights where I'm going to be home and I'm going to make dinner and mm-hmm. I'm going to clean up and do the dishes.
Depending on our schedule.
Laundry. And yeah. And then there's nights that you're going to do it. And
yeah. You know, and I think so in a lot of more traditional relationships where you see the wife staying home with the kids and the husband off working or however the situation is, I think it's best to just understand, listen, my job's exhausting. So is yours.
Yeah.
And whether you are both work doing the same job like we are, or not. At the end of the day, everybody's going to be exhausted. And just finding those moments where you can pitch in and help and support. And
yeah, for sure.
And just finding ways to make two exhausting lives coexist.
Yeah.
And make it better for the other person.
Yeah.
Look at us. We got a badass relationship.
Doing it.
Okay. This one I obviously exposed us, but my money versus our money.
Yeah.
Should couples separate finances?
So
going into it, so bring it back to us again. You know, I had owned my own home already. I was already, you know, I set myself up in a retirement account. But I obviously was going into it to be married to you forever. I was very confident in you and our relationship. So I don't want to separate your money versus our money.
Yeah.
I feel like that is so complicated.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think everybody's going to have their own perspective on this. I think a lot of new age people are leaning towards everybody should get a prenup, men and women. I just don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Or I didn't feel it was necessary, but do you think that couples should separate finances?
No, I don't. I think, you know, like what we talked about, especially us, we're, you know, a unique situation where, you know, we both are working hard and I mean, I would say more Americans or more people now are dual income couples, I would think, with especially when you get into politics and how much living expenses are nowadays and stuff. But I don't think my only thing is which you could just go, I could just go get some cash and do it. But like trying to surprise you on little things.
Oh, yeah, know? Because we share bank accounts.
Yeah, it's tough to
get. I am a little diligent on making sure there's no fraud or.
Yeah, it's tough to get surprises and like cards from Target.
Yeah, it's hard to sneak to Target. To sneak
that shit out. But no, yeah, I think shared income or shared bank accounts.
I do think though, and this is the business side of things, and this is for a separate podcast.
Yes.
On the financial sense, we do have different business accounts.
Yes.
Our businesses are, our LLCs are separate. We just share our personal accounts. And then we also have separate retirement accounts. Just
yes.
Because that's the way like Roth IRAs and those kinds of things are set up. So
Yeah.
But yeah, we share finances.
She's the business savvy one.
Yeah. You're just like football card spender.
And I'm really good at Wordle. Yeah.
You are good at Wordle.
Yeah.
It's like you're frustratingly good.
Yeah.
Okay. I have questions from the fans.
Okay.
Here we go. So this was intentionally a more relationship driven podcast. Of course, we talked about a little bit of sports at the beginning, but
We are in matching uniforms, so
cute as hell.
Yeah,
our last even podcast down to the sneakers. Our last podcast was Fight Forward. So I wanted to go back to the love story part.
Okay.
These are questions written in on our Instagram, a kick-ass love story Instagram.
Okay.
Here we go. What do we do to spark up our sex lives? I see a naughty little grin.
Okay,
I will say we haven't gotten to a dry spell yet.
Yeah.
We're going on 5.5 years of marriage.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't know. It's pretty sparky.
Yeah, it's pretty sparky.
It's pretty sparky.
I mean, like we've talked about before, we enjoy going to the strip club and
that's sparky.
Yeah, funny things like that. So
yeah, and we try new things. We're very open. I think the nice thing about us is we're extremely open.
Yeah.
And then I can't shit on this. Okay, I'm going to. So I was watching Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And there was this product that was like you could press a button if you wanted to be intimate with your partner.
Yes.
And the other person pressed it, and if both people pressed it, then a light would come on, and then you were gonna have sex, basically. Yeah. But like if you press it, but your partner didn't, like for me, it's like, okay, that is
how so, mentally, right?
How mentally fucked up is that? It's like, yeah. If I'm pressing my button every night and yours never pressing yours,
it'd be like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So I think that's terrible. I think the biggest issue in relationships is lack of communication.
Yes, 100%.
If I want to bang you, I'm telling you, babe, I want to bang you. And it's either yes or no.
You're saying if I want to bang you, right?
Yeah.
Because I can already see the comments getting. Yes.
If I want you to bang me. Okay, if I want you to bang me.
Yes, I can already see the comments.
Then, no. Communication.
Yes.
You'll walk up to me on the couch and be like, hey, do you want to go?
Yeah, should we go?
You want to go to the bedroom?
Yeah, should we go to the bedroom?
I'm like, yeah, sure.
It literally is like that.
It's sometimes. Pretty much like that, where I'll just be on the couch watching TV and be like, hey, do you want to go in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Sure. And then I'll just be like, wait, can we do it right here? Because I'm watching TV. Can we stay in this area?
Oh my gosh, that reminds me of gosh damn it, what's that? Bloodhound Gang. The lyrics of the song. Gosh, what? I'm trying to think of the exact song, but he's saying that they do a doggy style so they can both watch X-Files.
Anyways, okay, that's funny. Yeah. Ooh, this is a great tip. This is along the lines. Says best tip is great laughs. Great sex, forgiveness, and understanding.
Those are all great tips. Yes.
You have to laugh a lot, have great sex, forgiveness, and understanding.
Yes, forgiveness.
100%.
Forgiveness is huge, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, how often should married couples have sex?
Oh.
Now, this one, I do not think that there is a specific number.
No, absolutely
not. Do I think intimacy is important? Yes, extremely important. Is there a number of how often you should have sex? No.
No, I agree. I think, you know, like we said, there's seasons in relationship, right? And not only is that like a season where, you know, we're fighting a lot or not fighting a lot. There's also seasons like intimately as well where, you know, maybe the other person's working really, doing a bunch or whatever. And
when you're gearing up for a big fight, I know there's going to be times you're going to come home and be too exhausted.
Yeah.
So there's moments and just, there's ups and downs. And there's times and seasons where all of a sudden we'll be doing it every day. And then sometimes we'll be like, oh, it's been a week. Let's go have some fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So I really think that it needs to be a good balance between each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly like you said, I don't think there's a specific number. There's probably a concerning number. You know, it's been a few months or it's been 6 months and there hasn't. Then it's like, well, obviously the communication isn't good.
We're not going 6 months.
Yeah. And anyways, so.
So, yes. Okay. Did I have to work on any damage done on my face? No.
No, like
from like my fighting career. Yeah, no, yeah. I've had a cut under my eye. That was really,
like no plastic surgery.
Oh no, anything, no, yeah. Nothing on my face.
Yeah,
nothing on my face.
Yeah,
nothing from damage.
Oh, I get it now.
I have fake boobs.
Yeah,
that was yes. Okay. Ooh, let's see. Oh, do you go to all my photo shoots or do you just do your own thing while I'm doing photo shoots?
Ooh,
you actually have made a really conscious effort to go to almost every single one of my photo shoots.
Yes, I think. So this kind of started before the new year, but on New Year's, I was like, okay, my goal is to go to like every single one of your photo shoots. I believe I've missed one. I missed your most recent one.
You did.
And I had practice in the morning and then I don't know what else. But for the most part I go to everyone. She convinces me every once in a while to hop into a set.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a question for Austin. How do you feel knowing that other men drool over me? Okay, but I feel like this is both ways. Like, yes, am I on the internet more where people around the world are drooling over me more often? Yes.
Yeah.
But I also see all the women that flirt with you every day when we're out and about.
Oh, shoot.
I see all the women that walk up to me and tell me how hot you are in the gym and how they're like, oh, he's got a lot of tattoos. Wow. You get hit on more frequently in our regular day lives than I do.
Yeah, maybe.
You but do.
I will say this, going back to the question, how does it make me feel? I don't know. It's not, I'm not jealous. I don't get jealous because like we've talked about in the past, we built that, we built the relationship and you built, we built the trust and all that. I mean, it's a compliment. Like I know how gorgeous you are and how sexy you are. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, as long as no one else is like touching you like that, then to me, it doesn't matter. It's, we also talked about the other day, like, the difference between doing OnlyFans and then just posting like sexy stuff mm-hmm. on the internet or being in Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition, like it's all there. People are looking at you, lusting over you. Like,
there was, so why not get paid to do it? I was being sexualized my entire career.
Exactly.
Might as well profit from it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it. No, it's, you know, that. That's the territory. And then I knew going into our marriage, like, you know, I'm marrying a sexy, like, it, you know, in my opinion, one of the sexiest women in the world. And I'm so there's going to be
the sexiest in the world, not the,
the sexiest. Gosh damn it.
Wow.
Well, what the hell? Okay. Cut that.
No, don't cut it.
Cut that. Yeah, that's cut. cut that. So I knew going into everything, like, what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder what when I'll be the sexiest woman in the world.
Stop it. Stop it.
You're lucky it's your birthday.
Stop it.
Ooh, I am excited for your birthday dinner. We're going to get margaritas.
Toreros.
Yep, Toreros, chips and salsa. All right. What is the hardest marriage lesson that we have had to learn about each other?
Hardest marriage lesson.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
For you, gosh, I don't know if there's hard lessons. I think it's just like adjusting to the differences that we have. Although, yes, we're very similar. We are extremely different from each other and how we handle situations and how we respond to different things.
Yeah.
So I think it's just understanding that the way I handle things isn't necessarily going to be the same way that you do.
Yeah, that's like, really
good. I'm extremely confrontational. And if I feel as if somebody is hurting me, harming me, being dishonest or dishonorable, I call them out immediately.
Yeah.
Because I'm confrontational.
Yeah.
And to a fault, I can definitely take it too far where it's like I can tell people to fuck off. And I feel like I sometimes can protect my peace a little bit more than I should.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you, on the other hand, at times will always make the environment like a happy, cordial place. You don't want to step on anyone's toes. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But sometimes that'll put us in a detrimental position because there's a time and a place where you need to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I am... It's not that I'm afraid to step on anyone's toes, but my first reaction is trying to de-escalate a situation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because I mean, for me, I'm not great with my words. So if I'm really angry at somebody, I want to physically harm that person. That's not like the right thing to do either. So the first thing.
No, but de-escalation is always the best first move.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that I'm like afraid to step on someone's toes, but yeah.
No, no. And that's not what I meant either. Just that you de-escalate. Whereas I come swinging.
Yes.
Right away.
Yeah. Yeah.
a little bit fiery.
It's a good balance. So
it is a good balance. Yes. Because we find ways to like talk each other, and then I think between the two of us, with me wanting to just be like, oh well, fuck you, fuck this person, fuck them, and you're like, no, let's understand, and then we come to a really good balance.
Yes, for sure.
Between the two of us.
Yep.
Let's see if there's any other questions. Well, I think those were the only appropriate ones.
Okay.
Other than that, they are really naughty.
Yeah.
Well, we can save
the naughty ones for another episode.
Yeah. Maybe we could do a really, really naughty
X-rated.
Episode. X-rated.
Yeah.
Ooh, a kick-ass love story. X-rated edition. Yeah. That could get crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
One, how are we doing on time?
We're at 55.
Perfect.
Hey.
By the way, the fan you guys mentioned
met at the bar was Dave, and then the guy that the fan that won the giveaway was Mike.
Gotcha. Okay. Dave. Yes, Dave from World of Beer. I see you, brother. Yeah. Very nice. Good to meet you. We had a good time.
All right. Well, I think that was a great episode. Yeah. We actually have your father here, which is so awesome for your birthday. And we're going to go get some Mexican food for dinner. We do have boxing after this. We have another
practice. Yeah. And March Madness is on. So I got to see if my bracket has been busted.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That'll be a bummer.
It comes down to, as we're filming this, I had picked BYU over Duquesne, and Duquesne was beating them up. So it'd be an upside. I think it was 11-6 seed.
All right.
I picked BYU.
Well, so that was an episode of A Kick-Ass Love Story.
Yep.
Until next time. Yeah, that was A Kick-Ass Love Story with Paige Van Zandt, Austin Vanderford, Dennis Vanderford. We are on YouTube, OFTV, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Apple, Spotify. Just search A Kick-Ass Love Story and I think you're gonna find this.
Yeah.
Anyways, awesome. Thanks for subscribing, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.